Blog Talk Radio.
You'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. I'll push the kick button, and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color Only. Everybody, how you all doing out there today? Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to call in to the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. I will give you a word of warning. There will be no character assassinations, no ad hominem attacks. If you think you want to indulge in random insults and things of that sort and don't want to add anything to the conversation, it will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Also won't tolerate excessive profanity or things of that sort. So keep that in mind. And if you think you need to indulge in those type of activities, I'm just going to tell you right now, you might as well not come on the show, okay? Because you're not going to be productive towards this show, okay? So just keep that in mind. I don't care if you agree with me, disagree with me, or whatever, but just keep in mind that, you know, just show some respect, okay? That's all I ask. But anyway, you all know what today is. We all know what today is. And I'm constantly reminded of it on a daily basis this week. This will mark 20 years that we had the incidents of 9/11 in 2001. Two planes hit the World Trade Center buildings. Both of them collapsed. Another plane flew into a field in Pennsylvania, and another plane flew into the Pentagon right across from Washington, D.C. And a lot of us can remember where we were or what we were doing when these incidents took place. And, of course, it's changed the atmosphere in our country forever. And it seemed like for a while there, it seemed like we were united. It didn't matter if you were Republican or Democrat or conservative or liberal or any of that other stuff. It didn't matter. You know, we wanted to unite as Americans, which is how it should be. And, of course, it was 19 hijackers involved. I know whenever you have a big event like this happen, there always comes in the conspiracy theories about, you know, did things really happen the way they did? You know, good example, the John F. Kennedy shooting. A lot of people believe that it wasn't a lone gunman that shot John Kennedy, but we haven't really proven that. And the same thing with 9/11. A lot of people believe that was an inside job, but we haven't proven that. But we look at some of the evidence and whatever, and some things makes you want to say, wait a minute, this is sketchy here. Why did this happen and then this happened and whatever? But people died that day, and it was probably the biggest tragedy to occur in this country since the bombing of Pearl Harbor and the legalization of abortion. Have to put that one in because that's taken out way more lives than what happened at Pearl Harbor and what happened on 9/11 put together. Have to put in the tragedy of abortion. Can't ignore that one. But we are all reminded of what happened that day, and there are people who are still suffering from that. The thing that I ask myself sometimes is, you know, can you imagine being a child and one of your parents was killed in that tragedy, but you were born a few months afterwards, you know? I mean, just imagine. I mean, I really can't imagine the pain that people have felt. Some people feel that pain to this day about what happened that day. And I remember I used to work at this plastic molding company here in Durham, and I worked at nighttime. And so, of course, in the daytime, I was asleep. So when I woke up, I turned on the TV, and I see this plane flying into one of the buildings. I'm like, oh, my goodness, they had a plane crash in the World Trade Centers, in one of the buildings of the World Trade Center. And then I saw the second plane hit, and I'm sitting there like, wait a minute. Two planes, one each for each tower of the World Trade Center, something is up here. And then you heard about, you know, the attack on the Pentagon, and the fourth plane, they say, was either being aimed at the White House or the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. And there are a lot of questions with me about 9/11. Like, if you know a plane is flying off course, why wasn't the Air Force called up there to check things out? Because usually when you have a plane that's off course or whatever, acting funny or whatever, they'll send up the Air Force. And I still have questions in my mind about that. But regardless of that, it was a national tragedy. And now my question about this is, okay, we can make a day like Juneteenth a national holiday. How come we can't make 9/11 a national holiday? Now, I'm not trying to push for 9/11 to be a national holiday. I think we have too many holidays as it is. But if we can do it with Juneteenth, why not do it with 9/11? Just something I want to put out there, you know, something for you to think about, something for you to peruse a little bit. But keep the people who are affected. Well, let me just be honest with you. Whether you know it or not, if you're an American, 9/11 affected you in some kind of way. You might not have had any loved ones to have died during 9/11. But it affected all of us. It really did. It started a 20-year-long war in Afghanistan, which we shouldn't have been there that long. Of course, we found the so-called perpetrator. And I say so-called because people aren't sure if we really got Osama bin Laden. Now, I'm not trying to sound like a conspiracy theorist. Don't judge me as being a conspiracy theorist. But, you know, some people are wondering, did we really get Osama bin Laden? But watching the events unfold that day, it was kind of surreal. It was like, wait a minute, this is not happening. This can't be happening. This is what you see in the movies, not on American soil. And so close to our nation's capital on top of that. And it was like, you know, something about this is just wrong. It's just wrong, you know. And but of course they've gone through, you know, the ceremonies and everything, the calling out of the names of the people. More than 3,000 people were killed. Want to give a shout out to the police officers and the firefighters that died that day. And just keep these people in your thoughts. And that's basically all I have. That's really all I have to say about it, really. You know, it's not much I can say about what happened that day. But yeah, we got the flag flying at half staff and everything. So, this is a day we'll always remember. You know, I was watching, the other day when I was home, I was watching the Pearl Harbor movie, you know, the one with Ben Affleck and Josh Hartnett, you know, the one that everybody doesn't like. I remember when Roosevelt stood up and he said, yesterday on the day of December the 7th, 1941, a day which will live in infamy. Now, I believe that's what 9/11 is. I think 9/11 took over as being the national tragedy in our country's history. Bunch of cowards who didn't like our way of life here in the U.S. decided to take upon themselves to murder innocent people, innocent civilians. And for a while, the news media got it right. They got it right. But after everything settled down, you know, they went back to politicizing this thing and pointing fingers at each other and, making this a political thing instead of saying, look, this had nothing to do with the Democrats. This had nothing to do with the Republicans. This was an attack on all of us. And that's the situation we find our country in today. You know, it's too much finger pointing. And I'm about to segue into another part of the program, but I just wanted to remember that, you know, keep that in remembrance. But, let me pull this up. I don't know why that's not pulling up. But you all know one of the things that I don't agree with is politics. I talk about it. I, you know, maybe in some ways explain it or whatever. But I do not like politics. And like I said on this show countless times, I believe there's a reason why politics and poison begin with the same letter of the alphabet. I think they're one and the same. And I think we are being poisoned by politics today in this country. And basically what politics does, it gets you to choose sides regardless of whether the side you choose is clinging to the truth. It doesn't care about politics. Politics really doesn't care about the truth. It just cares about okay, which side are you going to be on? Are you going to be on A side or are you going to be on B side? Now, the truth can be down there dangling on a web like a spider just saying, hey, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. But we choose to ignore it based on our politics. And a lot of us get caught up in this political wrangling. And it doesn't matter who our favorite politician is or how crooked that person is. We choose to ignore it because, hey, this guy is on our side. Bump the truth. This is the guy we're going with. And I see it so apparent. And if you cannot notice the atmosphere that we are living in today, that we are in a political battle today, something is wrong with you. If you can't see how the difference between how Donald Trump was treated and how Joe Biden is being treated today, something is wrong with you. And you need to do some real deep soul searching. Because there are a lot of things that Donald Trump couldn't get away with, but now we're letting Joe Biden get away with it. And folks, let me tell you something. The only reason why Joe Biden got in office is because everybody hated Donald Trump. Well, I'm not going to say everybody, but there are certain factions that hated Donald Trump. And they were so glad to get rid of Donald Trump. And so many of you all out there were poisoned by the political pandering of our mainstream media and brainwashed us to the point where we said, hey, I hate Donald Trump. And you don't even know why you hate him. Because a lot of his words that were twisted by the mainstream media, if you would do a careful perusal of those words or listen to them again, you'll find out, wait a minute, Donald Trump didn't say this. He didn't say that. But we're like, No, Donald Trump this, Donald Trump that. Won't give even if Donald Trump does something good, we don't want to give him credit for it. When Donald Trump came into office, it boosted our economy. Black folks had the lowest rate of unemployment ever. Well, not just black folks, but minorities, women, lowest unemployment ever. Nobody wanted to give them credit for it. You know what they said? Oh, that's what Barack Obama started. No, you can't put this on Barack Obama. You can't say you can't give credit to Barack Obama. The only reason why you want to give credit to Barack Obama because you like Barack Obama, but you hate Donald Trump. So you're not willing to give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt. Now, let me give you a good example of the hypocrisy. Now, ever since Donald Trump started his campaign when he came down that escalator in 2015 and he threw his hat in the ring and whatever, he's been talking about building a wall on our southern border. He said, we're going to build a big, beautiful wall. And really, I think Donald Trump, you know, he talked a little too much saying, and Mexico's going to pay for it. Why are you going to say that? The Mexicans are going to pay for it. Just say you're going to build a wall, okay? But anyway, Donald Trump said he wanted to build a wall. The powers that be were like, Donald Trump's a racist. And because a lot of us have been poisoned by the mainstream media, we will sit there and say, oh, he doesn't like Mexicans. That's why he wants to build a wall. He wants to keep the Mexicans out. No, we can't have the Mexicans in this country. He even said that. He said they're nothing but murderers and rapists. Which Donald Trump did not say that Mexicans are murderers and rapists. Well, he said they're a bunch of animals. He didn't say they were animals either. Go back to his speeches on, you know, what it, you know, where you think you heard him say this, and you'll hear something totally different. And don't listen with the mainstream media screaming in your ear. Use some critical thinking skills. So Donald Trump wants to build this wall, and everyone's like, oh, he's a racist. This shows he's a racist. He's going to build a wall. He wants to keep out Mexicans. He doesn't want Mexicans in this country. So Joe Biden gets into office, halts the building of the wall on our southern border, but lo and behold, Joe Biden is helping the Afghani government to build them a wall in Afghanistan, not too far from the Kabul airport. He's supporting them building a wall there. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Of course, the mainstream media is not going to show it to you. Joe Biden gets into office, shuts down the XL pipeline. People making six figures. Out of a job, shut it down. Oh, it's destroying the environment. A few months later, he's helping to support a pipeline in Eastern Europe. Nobody says anything about it. Because, oh, we like Joe Biden. We don't like Donald Trump. The racist. And all Joe Biden did when he came into office was to get rid of everything that Donald Trump did. That's all he did. That was his mission. This is why I don't believe that Joe Biden is really running the country. I really don't think he's running the country. I think someone's pulling his strings. Could be Barack Obama. Could be Kamala. Could be the Clintons. But I really don't think Joe Biden is running this country. They say that, you know, and everyone's like, oh, he's doing such a good job. Show me the job he's doing that's good. Ever since he shut down the pipeline, our gas prices done jumped up. And they haven't come down. They've been around here in the area where I live, in the Durham area. They've gone up to gas prices have jumped up to $2.99 a gallon. They've been like that for several months now. They might come down a little bit, whatever, but they've relatively haven't moved. But nobody calls out Joe Biden on that. Now, see, I can call out people I support when they do something wrong. I can do that. But for some reason, I don't know what it is about you folks out there who throw all your support behind someone when they do something dirty. You always want to make excuses for them. I don't understand that. You need to call people out when they do things wrong. But see, this is why I say politics has poisoned us, because we are so caught up in the politics. We don't care about the truth. We don't care about the truth. Bump the truth. This is my politician. Now, I can understand that with those of you all who don't follow the godly way, but those of you all who call yourselves Christians out there going along with this mess, I would question, sincerely question your Christianity. See, I can call someone out, like a Donald Trump. No, I don't like the way Donald Trump liked to brag about everything every time something happened. I didn't like the way that Donald Trump always seemed to have an answer for all his critics. Donald Trump, look, you can say whatever you want to. Look, you are a conservative, you're a Republican, you're white, you're rich. You can say whatever you want to till you turn blue in the face. People are still not going to support you. So let them talk and you just do your job. That was my biggest peeve with Donald Trump. I was like, okay, you all go right ahead and say what you want about me. I'm just going to go ahead and do the job that I was called to do, which I think Donald Trump did a very good job. I think he's the best president we've ever had. But you don't always have to answer your critics all the time. Look what we did here, and we did this, and crooked Hillary and everything. Yeah, Hillary is crooked, yeah. But, you know, that meme gets worn down a little bit sometimes. Just, okay, we know she's crooked. Just go ahead and do your job. Now, understand that everybody is flawed. Everybody has their flaws and everything and stuff like that. And I'm not going to use that to say that Donald Trump didn't do a good job as president. He did a great job. He's the only president since Reagan that I can recall that actually came in, made some promises, and actually acted like he wanted to fulfill those promises. All the others, they get in and they say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They get in the White House, they're like, screw you. Donald Trump wasn't like that. But a lot of us couldn't see it because we get our information from MSNBC, CNN, the Young Turks. I'm tempted to call them the dumb jerks. But the Young Turks, Joy Reid, The View. These are the people we get our information from. Very biased people who have a one-track mind, who don't think critically. I was listening to Joy Behar the other day questioning Ted Cruz. It was about something. I forgot what it was, but she was like, Ted Cruz, didn't this happen and this and this and this and this? And Ted Cruz was like, no, this is not what happened. And she getting mad at Ted Cruz because Ted Cruz didn't give her the answer that she wanted to hear. They lead you on, and then if you don't support their point of view, something is wrong with you. Hey, Retta, how you doing? Are you in jail again, Retta? I ain't seen you for a long time on Facebook. Don't tell me you're in jail again. We're gonna have to start a GoFundMe. Get Retta out of jail fund. But folks, this is the world we are living in now. And a lot of people, they are too ignorant. And yes, dare I say, some of you out there are so stupid. Just stupid. You just don't, you're mentally and intellectually lazy. You don't want to go out. It seems like too much work for you to go out and find out what is really going on. And this is why we're in the state that we're in now. All politics is a system of favorites. That's all it is. Who's the favorite candidate? Who's the more enthusiastic? Who's the more charismatic? Instead of following the truth. And those of you all who call yourselves Christians, you need to be ashamed of yourselves for putting politics before the truth. Yeah, Reddit, that's how it is, ain't it? You know, people get on you for something stupid. you know, my boss, I was talking to my boss at my job yesterday, and he said, what is wrong in this world is that we're allowing technology to push us instead of us pushing technology. I'll give you an example. Like when you go on a Facebook and you type in something and those people at Facebook don't like what you type in and they shut you down, that's technology trying to push you to think a certain way. I say, you know what? I never thought of it like that. And then when you want to go to somewhere, another platform, I found another platform last week called Clout Hub. I think I'm going to make that my Facebook, Clout Hub. And I've been posting there for the past week or so. But even if you want to go to these other platforms that will accept you in it and they believe in free speech or whatever, other entities want to shut them down, like Apple and Microsoft. They want to shut them down. Oh, we're not going to support your app. We're not going to support your site because we don't agree. It has nothing to do with being in agreement. See, people get this idea mixed up about what free speech really is. They think free speech means only the speech that you agree with and it doesn't offend you. No, free speech is even allowing that speech that you don't agree with and that does offend you. That is true free speech. So if you come up and you have a point of view that I don't agree with, yeah, I might not agree with it, but you have your right to express that point of view. Apparently, the big tech doesn't understand that. And basically, what they're trying to do in a roundabout way is to control how you think. They want to intimidate you. They want you to think like this. Okay, this is my point of view, but if I express my point of view, I'll get shut down. So let me shut down my point of view and just go along with everyone. It's a roundabout way they get to control you. And see, you got a lot of weak-kneed people, a lot of people who are feeble-minded. They'll allow that. Well, I can't express my views because why not? You have a point of view just like everybody else. We're not part of a collective. And these very people, they go up talking about, oh, free speech, I'm for free speech. No, you're not. You're only for the speech that you agree with. That's the only speech you're for. I was, of course, this week, we all know what's going on the 14th. Tuesday, California, the recall election. This guy named, I don't know his name, Larry Elder, radio talk show personality, former judge. I remember Larry Elder from back in the 90s. I remember him from way back then. And I didn't know what Larry Elder was about until I saw an episode of that show that used to come out in the 90s called The Hughleys with D.L. Hughley. And Larry Elder was on that program. And D.L. Hughley had, and he still does today, he has some beef with Larry Elder because Larry Elder is a black man and he's conservative. See, that's another thing. You know, the worst person to a lot of you all is a black person who thinks conservatively. Just ask Clarence Thomas or Timothy Scott or Condoleezza Rice. But I remember Larry Elder from back then, and when I heard his point of view, I was like, oh, this guy's on the ball. But Larry Elder is making our liberal friends a little nervous because he's leading all the Republicans in a bid to become California governor next week if the recall goes through. Now, Larry Elder was in, I think he was in Venice, California, a couple of days ago, walking through the homeless district. And there were some people who were just upset that Larry Elder breathes the same air that they do. So they wanted to come around and surround him. Some dip-headed girl in a gorilla mask. In a gorilla mask. White girl in a gorilla mask throwing eggs at him. Now, can you all imagine if that had been, I don't know, Maxine Waters or Stacey Abrams or any, just pick out your favorite liberal black person and some white girl in a gorilla mask had thrown eggs at that person. Could you imagine the outrage? But, oh, Larry Elder. He might be dark-skinned, but he's really a white supremacist. So we can throw eggs at him. Now, folks, let me tell you all something. I very, very, very rarely see conservatives do this when a liberal walks up their street. Very rarely. They might get out there. They might yell at them. Hey! That might be as far as it goes, but I very rarely. Tell me when a liberal has had eggs thrown at them by conservatives. And I know you all want to stick to that doggone January 6th. Oh, that was a good example. No, it wasn't. If y'all don't shut up about that January 6th, y'all want to sit there and blow that out of proportion, but you want to ignore what happened most of the summer last year? But you don't see conservatives being as destructive as these liberals are. Never. They wanted to talk about the Tea Party back in 2010 when all the members of Congress wanted to meet about that Obamacare garbage. And then they wanted to say that one of the black congressmen got spit on and called the N-word. And Breitbart even set up a reward, $100,000 to the person who can show me this man getting spit on and called the N-word. No one's ever claimed that prize. You know why? Because it didn't happen. Even though y'all's favorite preacher, Al Sharpton, gets up there talking about, I saw the video. I saw the video. This was outrageous. Okay, Al Sharpton, you saw the video. Show us the footage. Show it to us. And last I can conceive, I don't remember you claiming that $100,000 reward. Because I know if I had seen it, if they had a reward, I'd be like, hey, here it is. Cough it up. Okay, y'all going to take your taxes out of it. Okay, give me my $60,000. Al Sharpton talking about he saw the video of this man getting spit on and called the N-word. There was no footage of it. And you know, folks, y'all remember how they used to demonize the Tea Party? Oh, they're Ku Klux Klanners without the hoods, and they don't like black people. And the only reason why they were formed was because Barack Obama. And see, once again, y'all got polluted by politics. You got polluted by politics. The last thing that was on the mind of a Tea Partier was race. But convinced a whole bunch of you all out there, because a lot of you all out there are stupid, and you can't think for yourselves, and somebody needs to do the thinking for you, you believe that garbage. But it never happened. But you convince yourself it has happened, because that is what you want to believe, because you've been told to believe this, and you just had to believe it. You just had to believe this, because this is the narrative they've been feeding you for so long, and you just had to believe it. I want to believe it. Folks, that is the essence. That is the essence of stupidity. I'm just saying, folks. I'm just saying. But could you imagine if Larry Elder was someone like Stacey Abrams or Sheila Jackson Lee or Barack Obama, and someone's throwing eggs at him, man, we wouldn't hear the end of it. You already see how they demonize the people up at the Capitol building. We still ain't heard the end of that. But, oh, Larry Elder, he's a coon. He's a sellout. He's not really black. He might be kinfolk. He might be skinfolk, but he ain't kinfolk. White girl, now I'm going to be honest with you all. I'm just going to be honest. Y'all can say about me whatever you want to. If that girl had thrown an egg at somebody I was deemed to protect, and she got in my face talking about, put your hands on me, I'd be like, okay, throw another egg. Because me, I don't like to put hands on women, but you want to act like this? Oh, I'm going to put some hands on you. And one of the guys who was protecting Larry Elder, she punched him, and it was some other people out there. One guy out there talking about, he's only going to be in office for a year. What's he going to do? Well, if a Democrat happens to win the recall over Gavin Newsom, he's only going to be in for a year. What's he going to do? Now, y'all just mad because Larry Elder is a conservative black person. And he doesn't think like your typical black person. And you all have been slaving on the plantation for so long that you think the safest place is to be on the plantation. And when someone escapes the plantation and says, I'm not coming back to it, y'all want to call him a sellout. That's what y'all do. And I sit here and I listen to these people. I'm like, y'all. I mean, there are things that are going on that are just so blatant. You can just sit there and see this mess happening. But people, once again, they're going to believe what they want to believe. Not because they have the evidence of what they're believing, but because this is what we want to believe, because we have been convinced that this person is like this. We have no evidence or anything, but we are still convinced that this person is like this, and this is what we choose to believe. Now, you can point out the same thing in a person that I support, but I don't want to believe that. I want to believe the bad stuff about the person that I hate. I call that hater syndrome. I don't like you, so I'll just believe any old thing about you because I just don't like you. And that's what's going on with Larry Elder. That's what's going on with Donald Trump. That's what's going on with anybody who dares to toe the line of the conservative or the Republican Party. Now, to be honest with you, I hope Larry Elder wins. I hope he does. Now, if he doesn't, I won't be surprised. I won't be surprised one bit. But you know what? I'll be like, mm-hmm, California, you're going to get just what you deserve. For the first time in California's 170-year history, people are leaving in droves. That ought to tell you something is wrong. We need to do something different. I think California has been run by Democrats for the past 30 or 40 years, if I'm correct. I think the last really, truly, truly, truly Republican or conservative governor they ever had was Ronald Reagan. Y'all can talk about the Terminator all you want to, the Governator all you want to, but I don't think he was a true Republican. He was a rhino. But people elite, and here's the thing: why the heck are okay? You see your state is bleeding, being bled dry. And you still want to bring in people who support the policies, which are the reason why your state is being bled dry. A couple of years ago, I worked at this place in Graham, North Carolina, and I worked with this real big white guy, big white Jewish guy. And he said he was from California. He said, I moved to North Carolina because I can't live in California anymore. They say the average price of a house in California. I'm not certain that this is true or whatever, but, you know, check the stats or whatever. If you know, just let me know in the chat room or whatever. But they say the average home in California costs $700,000. Now, these, you know, people who are running California are of the liberal mindset. These are the people who are always crying about the rich. The rich. The rich. The rich. They ruining everything. They making it bad. But you all keep voting these people in. And you all keep thinking that these people have your best interest at heart. They raise your taxes. They become the rich. But you still. Go out there and cast your vote for them. How in the world this candidate making $100,000 a year and they're living in a $4 million home? Because a lot of you all are too stupid to realize, wait a minute, this person is part of the problem. Maxine Waters doesn't even live in the district that she's supposed to support. She lives in a $4 million home. But she keeps getting everyone's votes. Sheila Jackson Lee, the lady with that bird nest on her head. People keep voting these people in without realizing, wait a minute. We've had these people running our state, running our city for decades. 50, 60 years, and we haven't gotten better. We've gotten worse. And nobody makes a connection and say, wait a minute, we've been voting for these guys. They said they're going to make everything better, but nothing's gotten better. That's another way politics poisons the people. When you ingest its poison, it makes you stupid. That's why a lot of politicians, they don't believe in school choice. They don't believe in your children receiving a quality education. Why? They want you to be dumb. Because if they get you dumbed down to a certain point, they can tell you anything and you'll just believe it. Challenge me on that one. challenge me on that one. That's why they don't want school choice. They want to demonize homeschool children, saying, oh, they're so uppity. Well, you got uppity kids in a public school system, too. Trust me, I've seen them. Oh, they don't have the social skills. I blame the parents for that one. But a lot of these children that are homeschooled, they're some of the smartest people around. And see, basically, your typical government-run school is an indoctrination center. They want you to believe their philosophy. No, we can't have that God in here. We can't have that Bible in here. Bring in the 1619 Project or critical race theory. That's what we want to teach the children. We don't want you believing in biblical figures like Moses or David or Jesus. But if you're a Muslim, oh, we'll give you a mat so you can pray to Mecca, when the time comes. But when you come and interact with us, we are your masters. We are your lords. We are your gods. That's their mentality. And folks, let me tell you something. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. This is how communism has run through certain countries. They get in there. They see themselves as the highest power. We are the ultimate. There is no God. We got to get God out of the school system because God challenges our thinking. We can't get these kids believing no Bible. We don't want them reading nothing about no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We don't want them 66 books of the Bible in the school. We don't want you praying over your food in the cafeteria. We don't want you praying to any God in here because we're God. That's basically what a communist system is. They come in, they try to replace God, and they say, we're your gods. I was reading this story about this guy. He was a Cuban. And he said when they were children, and, you know, communism was looking to take over their country and everything, they got a bunch of children into the cafeteria. And they said, okay, children, we want you to pray to Jesus for some ice cream. Now, as impressionable as a young mind is, children love ice cream. And so, you know, the children are probably eagerly praying, yeah, let me pray to Jesus for some ice cream. I want some ice cream. I want some ice cream. Ice cream didn't show up. So, the ice cream didn't show up. They said, okay, the ice cream didn't show up. Okay. Now, we want you all to pray to Fidel Castro for some ice cream. And, of course, you know, children love ice cream. So children got down. They prayed to Fidel Castro for the ice cream. All of a sudden, the doors open up. And everybody comes in. They say, hey, kids, we got free ice cream for you. That's how they work. And see, the reason why the United States hasn't turned communist by now, because we're seeing the examples of what's going on in the world. It's a struggle going on in the United States right now. And once again, that's my opinion. That's why I believe we haven't gone full-blown communist yet. So they had to do things sneaky and underhanded. But see, it's too many, we have too many smart people here in the U.S. of A. But people are trying to shut them up. That's why big tech is trying to drown out the voices of people who speak conservative talking points, they who speak conservatively, or they speak or they speak Christian. They support Christianity. That's why they want to shut them down, because they want you to think a certain way, because they won't be able to carry out their nefarious plans until they get you to think a certain way. And then they'll get their hooks in you. And once they get those hooks in you, it's going to be very hard to get them out. You're not going to wake up one morning and we're going to be communists, and you're going to look around and say, you know, oh, man, I didn't know this was going to happen. No, this is not what I want. Oh, no, it's too late then. That's why the people are warning you now. Because a lot of people, they see this country going in that direction, and they're trying to point it out. But you got the people in the mainstream media. You got your politicians. They're trying to shut down those voices. No, you're just a conspiracy theorist. No, we're not a conspiracy theorist. We have critical thinking skills. We can see how communism has taken over other nations, and we see the United States going in that same direction too. Just a little food for thought for you right there. And a lot of you all out there, you don't read. You allow yourselves to be stupid. And keep in mind, you keep on towing the Communist Party line, you're going to be the first ones they deal with when they take power. Mark my words. You're going to be the very ones. Oh, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Well, someone is warning you now. They're warning you now. You got people who are escaping from communist countries, they're coming over to the United States. They're warning you now, but you want to tear them down too. Now, how in the world are you going to tear them down? And they lived through it. They've experienced it. And you're going to tear them down too? What is it going to take to get you to understand what is really going on? Some of you, and you know, it's true what the Bible says. There's a scripture that says, if a man wants to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. If they don't want to take heed to the warning signs, if they don't want to listen to the warnings of the watchmen, if the alarm is being sounded and they don't want to hear it, leave them alone. Just go to somebody else who will listen. Because some people in this country, they are so convinced that the government is there to take care of them. They'll say things like, oh, you call yourself a Christian. Jesus talked about feeding the poor. So why is it a problem when the government wants to do the same thing? No, see, you got it mixed up. Jesus was telling his followers to give out of their own resources. He wasn't saying, oh, the government needs to take money from the rich and give it to the poor. That's not charity. That's not what Jesus advocated. But so many of you all, y'all want to dig that up and say, yeah, you Christian, y'all think you, see, Jesus talked about feeding the poor, but when this politician, he says he wants to feed the poor, you got a problem with it. Yeah, I got a problem with it, because the politicians are out to rob Peter to pay Paul. That's not what Jesus said to do. He said, give of your own resources. Not have the government take from somebody's resources and give it to somebody else. That's not charity. That's thievery. Anyway, I see it is top of the hour. Let me do my advertisements right quick, and I will see you on the other side. You are listening to Black Bicolor only on CNM Radio.
Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Looking for fake news? You won't find it here. Conservative Nation Media, America's best truth detector.
CNN is trying to find new shows for the weekdays that are open. We have three shows now on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. The open days are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If you have a show that you are looking to air on a network, CNN is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, day that you want to be on, the time that you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNN is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. If you want to call in as a guest, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And before we left for the break, I was talking about how there are certain powers that be that are trying to infiltrate this country with communism, and how to me, it really isn't all that subtle. It really isn't. You know, certain things are only subtle to folks if you're ignorant. If you're ignorant to how things operate and whatever, it'll be subtle to you. But you know, when you inform yourself and when you educate yourself about certain things that are going on, it's very easy to pick it out. You know, I mean. Well, and there may be those of you all who see it. It's not subtle to you, but you don't care because you want to believe what you want to believe. But, you know, you got, I mean, I can see it as plain as day how they are trying to push us into a communist, socialist type of republic. The communists would want no bigger prize than this here United States of America. And you got people like Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, their ilk, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You got these people wanting to push us into a socialist society because they think it'll be the best thing for us, but it hasn't worked for anyone else. But they're so convinced it'll work for us. But methinks I hear the flapping wings of the fruit bats.
Oh!
That's my fruit bat alarm. Y'all know what that means. I'm about to go to the phones. Now, if you're coming on the show and you want to involve yourself in ad hominem attacks, straw man arguments, ad hominem attacks, excessive profanity, things of that sort, you best hang up right now because I'm not going to tolerate it. But anyway, if you want to add to the conversation, you know, let's do it in a decent, respectable manner. But if you don't want to do that, trust me, you will not be, you will not interact on this show for very long. But anyway, having said all that, giving out the warning, you know, curse of the fruit bat, all that stuff. Having said all that, let me go to the phones. Hello, welcome to the show.
Brother Vince, I'm going to tell you something, man. Look here. I had this damn fruit bat flying all around the interior of my house. I've been trying to get this fruit bat out of my house. Every time I swing a broom or a mop at this fruit bat, it's evasive and elusive, and it escapes me. But I realize how I get rid of that fruit bat. All I had to do was put on your show, turn the volume up loud, open the window, and when he heard that truth he was laying down, that fruit bat flew right out. He gone. Well, I'd like to thank
That's
you,
right.
Brother Vince, for helping me get rid of the fruit bat that was annoying the hell out of me. But look, man, on this solemn day, seriously, and seriously speaking here, man, on this here solemn day, I got to give a true gratitude for every single soldier, sailor, airman, and every member of the armed forces that dedicated their careers, their professions, and in many cases their lives and their health to the war on terror and going after this country's enemies in accordance with the orders of their commander-in-chief on behalf of the American people. No matter how screwed up those decisions may have been, they comported themselves with honor. I'd like to give the same recognition and the same sort of acknowledgement to those firefighters, policemen, and other heroes on 9/11. And in particular, the citizen militia of Flight 93 that in the good civic democratic order of American citizens got together, put together a plan of battle, and fought the enemies of the United States and forced them to divert from their objective of destroying the Institute of Government of the United States. You got to give them all the credit there is possible to give to that citizen militia of Flight 93. And another thing, too, those men who on September 12th, 2013, the day after the 9/11 commemoration in that year, disobeyed orders to go rescue Americans who were cut off in the consulate in Benghazi, recovering the weapons dropped by contractors who had been hired to protect the consulate, and fought it out with the enemy against overwhelming odds, and two of them gave their lives in the process. Give them credit, too. There's a lot of credit to be given as we look at this fool, this clown, this goofball, this knucklehead, this demented, fascist, tyrannical marionette who can't even remember what his name is from day to day. As we look at him, we got to remember that this country is full of great and noble people who deserve infinitely better than this administration. And I know I've been saying a bit, I've been rambling on a bit. Man, a lot has been on my mind, and it's one other thing I'd like to add and I'd like to get your response to, if I may.
Okay.
Look, we're headed for a medical police state. We're going down the route of Australia or maybe even worse. Now, the framers of the Constitution believed in police power. And let me give you a definition of what their definition of police power is. Police power are those rules, regulations, and laws that are necessary and essential to ensure the safety, health, and welfare of the citizenry. That's what police power means. Now, they weren't anarcho-libertarians like a lot of people think the Constitution was meant to do. They believed in government maintaining civil order, and they believed in the police power. But as far as federal police power, other than for a few specific enumerated offenses against which are listed in the Constitution, the only thing they wanted the federal government to do, police power was to be left in the hands of the states. Police power and medical procedures, quarantining and the like, is something for each individual state to pursue. The federal government can advise. The federal government can recommend. The federal government can even help to coordinate. The federal government cannot dictate. Under our constitutional form of government, no matter what pretext or workaround, like that clown chief of staff of Biden's, a guy Klain said in that email, he just gave away the game, a workaround for the Constitution. Ain't that a biatch? A workaround for the Constitution. Anyway, no matter what they say, it's the states that have the police power to determine. Because after all, for years, decades even, states have mandated vaccines for children, newborn and children. Nobody's ever had any serious problem with that. And even then, there was always exceptions for medical exceptions for people who, you know, are, it's contraindicated to because of for medical reasons and others and religious practices. Most states allow exemptions for that. You know, I mean, even the federal government, you know, to get passports, you got to have certain vaccines of recognized, you know, hepatitis and influenza and dysentery or, and a few other things. A few other things you got to have before you can get a passport. So we understand there's a role for even mandated vaccines under our understanding of police power at the various levels of jurisdiction. But this is entirely different. Just in December, this man told us he didn't have the authority to institute these mandates. Nancy Pelosi said the federal government didn't have the authority to order any state to get vaccines. The federal government has no such authority. There is no such authority in the Constitution for them to do this. None. Zero. I don't care how they want to try to justify it. It does not exist. They are abrogating it and arrogating it unto themselves. This is tyranny. They're not trying to subvert our freedoms. They're trying to subvert our liberties and our freedoms. They're trying to do both at the same time, and they know it. And then with this cynical ploy they're trying to pull, trying to bring up some big leap with OSHA rules and all that, don't fall for it for a microsecond. No such authority exists. That is for imminent danger in the workplace, not for the disease, which is always ever present in any number of guises, any number of diseases you are prone to catch in any workplace. And this is a disease that literally, for the general population, listen to me, this is what gets me about this. We're upending everything, and we know the reason why. But we're upending everything for a disease that has a death rate of less than 1% among the entire population. And even the most vulnerable of us, the death rate is less than 3 to 4%. The most vulnerable group. But the group as a whole is less than 1%. I mean, the whole universe of people, less than 1%. And we are literally upending everything to accommodate this, and we know that ain't the reason. It's for control. It's for the Great Reset. It's for tyranny. And look, I'm listening to what some of these governors are saying. This guy, Henry McMaster, the South Carolina government, he says he's ready to fight this to the gates of hell. Now, I don't know if he's serious or not. A lot of these politicians are blowhards. But if he's serious, I'm willing to go to South Carolina and offer my services to help him to the gates of hell to stop this. If he's serious. Yeah. Or any other governor. Because we're going to have to do this at the state level to turn this back. And the governors just got to stand up and say, no, you will not do this in my state.
Yes. And here's the thing, too. And I just read this article right before I got on the show. It comes from the DCPatriot.com. And you all, see, there are certain entities in the government that just playing us for fools, playing us like we're 10-cent flutes. This article, it says here, the Pfizer vaccine wasn't FDA approved. The media is just claiming it is. Now, for the past, I don't know, month or so, this is all you've been hearing. Oh, Pfizer has been approved by the FDA. And now let me tell you all something about these government entities and whatever. I don't trust them further than I can see them. I can't trust them inside of a paper bag. I don't trust them anyway. The FDA, the USDA, all these government entities and whatever. But it says the Pfizer vaccine was not FDA approved. And see, this is what frustrates me about our government. You got these people, these minions going around talking about, oh, the government's here to take care of us. Oh, they just want to take care of us. They care about us. No, they don't. And you all can say whatever you want to about this, but this is why I get so ticked off. Whenever someone comes knocking on my door every presidential election cycle talking about, have you been registered to vote? Get off my porch. Just go somewhere, okay? This your vote counts and all this. I don't trust these people outside of a paper bag. And they always want to do little sneaky, underhanded stuff like this. Now, I can understand the importance of voting. Don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. But I get so ticked off when people are always droning on your head, beating you over the head. Did you vote? You need to go vote. Go vote. Go vote. Go vote. But then we vote, and these rascals just poke us in the rear. This is what ticks me off. It says here, the fervor in which our government and media have been pushing this untested experimental gene therapy on the populace is as suspicious as it is concerning. But now they have the battle cry of, it's FDA approved, so it's completely safe. Oh, is it? While the media ran with the story that the Pfizer show was FDA approved, the truth is that it is not. They never had a public forum to discuss the myriad side effects and death, nor complete the stage 3 trials required for approval per the FDA's own perimeters.
Man, you got to remember, man, the United States fought a successful revolution against the British crown, even as smallpox, with a 30% mortality rate among all people who catch it. 30% was the death rate from smallpox when you were infected. Was sweeping through the colonies, and they didn't shut down the doggone colonies back then with a much smaller population. And Biden has exempted millions of illegal aliens pouring into the country from the mandate. Members of Congress and their staff, he just exempted the largest, I believe, outside of the armed forces, the largest single federal governmental union, postal workers. And I'm going to tell you why he exempted postal workers. Let me tell you why he exempted postal workers. Because the postal workers union is disproportionately black. And black people are the most resistant to receiving the vaccine amongst all of the groups in the country. All of them. Black people are at a 22% or so vaccination rate, according to the CDC. 22%. So, and now you got to look at this two ways. Biden either hates all the people and wants them to die from COVID, all these people exempt from the mandate, or considering that there's a 1% mortality rate, along with all the other problems that we know are associated with the vaccine, if you don't think there are any, go to the governmental vaccine adverse event reporting site. Just go there, the government, and look up the mortality rate and other problems associated with the vaccine. You also got to believe that vaccine hates everyone else and wants all these latter people to risk death or other permanent health problems. Remember, a teenage boy's risk of heart problems with vaccine is 600% greater than the risk of becoming seriously ill from COVID.
Wow.
And then, you know, I mean, there are practical problems with the mandate. Do you believe there are enough swabs, testing sites, medical personnel, diagnostic reagents, related people and materials to process as many as 80 million tests a week? And the PCR tests that are still common, despite their accuracy issues, can take a week to deliver? No, this is not an attempt to fix a problem that is all but non-existent. This is a plan to impose tyranny. This is a plan to seize power under the guise of police power that the federal government does not possess, and then use as a springboard for more tyranny from there. Nothing more, nothing less.
Exactly.
And it's got to be said, this may be the hill to die on right here.
Yeah, it just may be. And, but did you see Jen Psaki the other day? Miss Circle Back herself. Jen Psaki. Someone told her, someone asked her about the illegals coming into the border not being vaccinated.
Steve Ducey.
And she's, yeah, Steve Ducey, yeah. And she's going to talk about, well, President Biden, he cares about the people and he's trying to get people vaccinated. No, that's not what we asked you. Why are American citizens being required to get vaccinated, but the people coming in at the border are not? And she, what was it she said? She said, yeah,
that's
that is
correct.
Happening. And then just went to another question.
That's correct. That's what she said.
Yeah, that's correct.
And then she moved
then she
on. She just said, that's correct. In other words, she let a rare moment of truth come out. And she really knew she couldn't really respond to it because she knew it was the truth.
I said, you got to be kidding. If it was me, I probably would have gone up there and snatched that red wig off of her head. But
that ain't a wig. You can see the black root. She dyes that sucker red, that Chucky-looking mother. She dyes it, man. But look, let me tell you something, man. She let out another rare moment of truth. See, the truth can't help but sneak through one of these vampires every now and then. She used the word plandemic in one press conference.
Yep, certainly did.
See, she probably thinking plandemic, and it slipped out.
Mm-mm.
I mean,
man,
these people cannot help themselves. The truth has to sneak out. They have to tell themselves so many lies and engage in so much deception. It's impossible to keep all of it out. Like those two comments, the one where she used the word plandemic, and the one where she said that's correct in response to the fact that there are more restrictions placed upon American citizens than on illegal aliens coming into the country illegally and people coming from Afghanistan whom have not been vetted yet.
Yep.
And all she could say is that's correct because it's the truth.
And then she goes on to another question. You know, I'm like, well, wait a minute, Jen. Let's talk about this now. You know, we got people in this country who are American citizens. They're being forced to take this vaccine, but those coming in illegally, and the Afghan refugees, they're not being vetted for the disease. Well, what's up with that? You know,
and
we need to
talk
about
what
this
group of federal employees regularly has more contact with the public than your members of the Postal Service.
Exactly.
You would think that would be one of the first unions and groups of people in the federal government that would ensure a mandate. But again, I'm going to tell you, because it's heavily black.
Yeah.
And they know black people don't want to take this vaccine.
Yeah.
And they're going to just exempt them. They're going to get the privilege of being exempted. Because they can't afford to alienate black people.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, though. I wish it was the same thing where I work at because they made it mandatory or you're going to lose your job. And really, to be honest with you, no one has the right to threaten your job because you don't get vaccinated. Nobody has that right, you know, especially at the federal level. And you got, you know, Joe Biden talking about, you know, folks talking about Donald Trump being a tyrant. But Joe Biden talking about this ain't about your freedoms or personal choice. What? Wait a minute. Joe, you didn't just say what I thought you said. This ain't about my freedom or my personal choice. Oh, but when a woman wants to kill her baby, that's when it's about freedom and personal choice. But now, you know, I'm sick and tired of you people not getting your vaccine. What do you mean you're sick and tired of?
I'd like you to tell me something, Vince, and I think you'll know the answer as soon as I frame my response. It is possible for you to refuse to get the vaccine and not infect a single person. That is entirely possible and even likely. You won't infect anyone. You might probably not even symptomatic. You're not going to infect anybody. It is not possible. It isn't possible to have a successful abortion and not take a human life. It isn't possible. Every time, 100% of the time, successful abortions result in the death of a human life. Every time, without fail.
Without fail.
I think we can see what the distinction is readily right there. And as much as I hate to admit it, and again, like I said earlier, there is precedent for governments mandating vaccines. But yeah. I know of no place where they do not allow for exceptions with medical advice contraindicating the need for a vaccine. I know of no case.
Yeah.
There are always exemptions for that. People in consultation with their doctor, or even for religious beliefs, or any practically any reason, when you apply for an exemption, it is usually granted by that locality in that police power jurisdiction. Here we got something entirely different. This guy's saying no exceptions, or we will punish you for not obeying our illegal, unconstitutional mandate.
Yeah.
It's one thing when it comes to a state where they have some measure of authority to do it. It is absolutely insufferable when it comes from the federal government.
Yep.
If you're a soldier,
it's different.
If you're a soldier and you're subject to the UCMJ, they made me take vaccines when I went in. It was a requirement of being a soldier. It was a lawful order. They were approved vaccines. I had to take them. I either had to be subject to court-martial. That's different. Mm. Most people are not soldiers.
Yep, that's true. See, there you have it right there, you know. but the thing that really gets me is how the government is just playing us with a bunch of fools, which really some of us really are, and they act like nobody is going to understand what is going on. You know, and call them out on it, and they just go ahead and just do whatever. You know, I mean, it's so in your face. I mean, Stevie Wonder can see this, and it's right there in your face, and they just go right ahead, and you know, like I told people about Joe Biden, they need to give him a big old bowl of applesauce and have him take a nap somewhere. You know, because Joe Biden is the worst president we've ever had. You know, and it hasn't even been a year. Definitely by far. I mean, Jimmy Carter is fading off into the sunset. I'm just gonna tell you, Barack Obama is still there on the horizon somewhere, but Jimmy Carter is fading off into the sunset. Jimmy Carter is like, okay, y'all take it from here. But Joe Biden is incompetent. He has no cognition of what's going on around him. The man can't even remember his own name, and he always has to walk around with a list so that when someone asks him a question, he got to pull out that list and say, should I answer this or whatever? He is the worst president we've ever had, and I really don't think he is running the country. I think his strings are being pulled by the likes of Kamala Harris and Barack Obama and probably even the Clintons. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the Clintons are in there too, if they're not playing a major part. But
I'll tell you what
I
think it's Ron Klain, his chief of staff. I think it's holdovers from the Obama administration, people who used to be in the Obama administration, like Valerie Jarrett, like Susan Rice, like the Emanuel brothers, Rahm and Ezekiel Manuel, a whole bunch of people, probably Obama and Michelle themselves, all of them behind the scenes, pulling the strings on this marionette and making his mouth move. I have no doubt that it's them and many, 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 many others. They're all like in this collective. Because you know how these people are with their collectives. A collective cabal that provides input and sends transmissions to the marionette through the wires that make it move. That's what they're doing. There's a lot of people involved in this guy. But, you know, one thing that's revealing about this is like you and I have said many times on this show, I know you alluded to it, that the left is a culture of death. They're a cult of death, Look at their comedians like Jimmy Kimmel. I saw this guy get up there and stand. He's typical of them. Now, I'm not saying that they all said exactly what he said because I didn't hear every one of them. But Jimmy Kimmel's typical of many of their attitudes. And he said a person comes in the hospital with a heart attack. If you had a vaccine, fine, wave them on in, give them all the medical treatment they need. But if they're unvaccinated, well, see you later, Wheezy. Too bad. Can you imagine that? wishing someone who hasn't gotten the vaccine, for whatever reason, you don't know, they might be immunosystem compromised. You don't know Jimmy Kimmel, you little bat. You don't know why he didn't. But you're going to sit there and say they are not worthy of medical treatment because they ain't got the vaccine? You and your little zombie pals are pushing on the rest of us? Man, the arrogance and effrontery of these people is breathtaking. It's beyond belief. We've got to fight these people like the devil themselves because they are the devil spawn itself.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard about that mother who had her parental rights taken away because she didn't get the vaccine. I say, y'all got to be kidding me. Are we in some type of Alice in Wonderland type of deal here or something? Have we all fallen down a rabbit hole? You know, this woman has had her parental rights taken away because she didn't get the vaccine. I mean,
we are witnessing the emergence of a fascist medical police state. That's what we're witnessing, not Alice in Wonderland, a medical fascist police state used as a springboard to other things more sinister.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking
at.
It's right in front of our eyes. It's naked now. They're not even trying to cover it up.
Yeah, they're not even trying. They're doing it right in our faces, but so many people are so ignorant. They've been so dumbed down that they can't even see it. Then, you know, they've been blinded by the news media. They've been poisoned, and that poison has caused blindness, has caused intellectual blindness within them, and they can't see it. And even when you can explain it to them, sit there, show them footage, you can show them papers, you can show them examples of what is going on, and they still want to believe a certain way. You know, it's mind-boggling. It really is.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I am encouraged by at least, I believe, 20 governors have said they intend to target this with legal actions in the courts.
Yeah.
And I think more are going to join it when they look this over. The minute they try to implement this, that's when it will become a matter for the courts. They can talk about doing it all they want. He can write all the executive orders he wants. But the minute they try to implement it, that's the time to start fighting back. And I mean fighting.
I mean, really, yeah. And I thank God for people like Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis.
Ron DeSantis, Chrissy Noem is another one. This guy, Henry McMaster in South Carolina, he's another one. There's many of them that are speaking up and coming out, and it's encouraging. It really is. It's encouraging to see it.
Yeah, and I hope they don't go the political way by saying, oh, we're going to fight this thing, but then they turn up and don't fight. You know, that's another thing that gets me too is. You know, and we saw it with this past fraud of an election. You know, the people who should have gotten up and fought, they didn't do anything. They just said, oh, okay, well, let's just leave everything like it is and whatever. I really do hope these people care enough about the people that they will come, that they will say, okay, we're going to fight this thing. We're not just going to run our lips. You know, we're going to take Donald Trump's example. You know, instead of running our mouths, we're going to put some feet to what we speak and actually fight against this thing. Because, you know, I mean, this is I never thought I would see this in my lifetime.
Well, let me tell you, the governors that have already made their intentions known with doing something legal. Tate Reeves in Mississippi, Brian Kemp in Georgia, Kristi Noem in South Dakota, Henry McMaster in South Carolina, Doug Ducey in Arizona, Asa Hutchinson in Arkansas, Kim Reynolds in Iowa, Greg Gianforte in Montana, Kevin Stitt in Oklahoma, and KIV in Alabama. And I think more joining them every day.
That's good to hear. And because what Joe Biden is doing, I mean, every time I hear Joe Biden mention the word executive order, I cringe a little bit because he's using the executive orders like a kid who has found his parents' gun, just waving it around and everything. And, oh yeah, let me do this. And oh yeah, I can do this. And I mean, it's like you just gave him a blank check to come up with these laws and just bypass the Constitution, you know. And these people don't care about the Constitution. I am totally convinced that these people that we have running our country right now, they don't care about the Constitution. The only time they care about the Constitution is when they go to the bathroom and take a dump. That's the only time they care about it.
And yeah, they need toilet paper.
Yeah, I know that's a crass thing to say, but I really do. I am convinced that that's the only importance they think our Constitution has on this country. You know, I mean, I know Barack Obama probably had him a big roll of constitutional toilet paper, but
I mean, these people are tyrants, pure and simple. They don't mean anything good to the American people. This man has not done one single thing good for the Constitutional Republic since he's been in office, and to the contrary, just about every single thing the man has done has been counterproductive and harmful and injurious to that. And it's going to get worse unless we stop him.
Yeah. For those of y'all under the sound of my voice, you might be listening right now, or you might be listening in the archives. You know, folks, you got to understand that this country is not supposed to be run by government. We run the government. We the people. That's why you see these people at these school meetings and they're getting up and they're speaking out against critical race theory and everything, because they understand that we're not subject to you. You work for us. And this is what we are demanding. You know, we are supposed, the Constitution says that this government is by the people, of the people. We are supposed, I'm sorry. I probably got my documents mixed up. That's either the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. I got my documents mixed up. But the point is that this country is run by the people. The government is not supposed to be some tyrannical entity over us telling us what they think is best for us. We know as individuals what is best for ourselves. And we don't need a government overriding our choices for what we made for ourselves, for our families, for our loved ones, and everything, and them coming over and saying, "Oh, no, that's not enough. We don't care about what you think. We're the government, and we're just going to tell you what to do." And see, that's what we have coming in now. We're kind of slouching towards the totalitarian states of America, but those of you all who know your Constitution and whatever, you need to get in the faces of these people. I'm going to start getting a little bit more active myself, you know, because, you know, the direction this country is going in I am not.
Vince, I'll tell you what we just do to help things out. When people ask what are the three branches of the constitutional government, if they say the executive, the legislative, and the judicial, remind them that is not strictly true. That it may be true for the three branches of the federal government and the branches of the government in most of the states. But the constitutional government, the most important single constituency of the constitutional government is we the people, number one. Number two, the sovereign states. And number three, the federal government, in roughly that order, depending upon what you're talking about. But then what you talk about, for the most part, as a general principle, in that order of importance are the three elements of the constitutional government. So whenever people say, what are the three branches of government, tell them, constitutional government, we the people, sovereign states, and then lastly, the federal government.
This is why I can't stand you, because you come up here spitting facts like this, you know, and people are going to learn something and they might actually do something, you know. You keep coming on here spitting these facts, man. I can't stand it. I can't stand these facts you keep spitting, man.
Remember, George Orwell, one of the most brilliant men ever lived, certainly one of the most prescient. The man who was a former communist and socialist, who understood better than almost anyone since he lived in that world. He said, in a time of revolutionary deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act, and we need more revolutionaries now than ever, than ever, than ever.
Yes.
We need revolutionaries popping up everywhere willing to tell the truth.
And the key word there is truth. We can't be sticking with politics all the time. Like I said earlier in the show, there's a reason why politics and poison begin with the same letter of the alphabet, you know. And basically what politics does, it tells you to choose a side regardless of the truth. I don't care what the truth says. My politics says something different. So you need to take the side of politics instead of the truth. That's why I don't like to get into politics, because it makes you choose sides. This, in my book, you know, and this is my opinion, this is what has this country divided is politics. We've allowed politics to get into every facet of our lives. We allowed it to get into the sports. We've allowed it to get into our entertainment, into the theaters. We've allowed it to get into our families. And it has just poisoned everything. And we need to get rid of this poison. We need to inoculate this country with an antidote of the truth.
Well, you know what? Here's a lot of the problem with it, though. You got to remember, every single major institution in the United States of America has been corrupted by the long march of the radical, progressive, cultural Marxist left doing their long march through every one of these institutions. It's been corrupted. And one of the worst of the corruptions is that they have literally found a way to deny the existence of transcendently, morally objective truth. They deny its existence. Everything is to be determined on a sliding scale of relativism dependent upon where the persons involved fit on the intersectionality chart. There are no absolute anything. Everything is up for question and on a moral relativist sliding scale. That's why these people are slippery like eels. That is why they literally convolute and wrap themselves around the truth rather than confront. That's why telling the truth is like garlic to a vampire with these people. That's why they get so outraged when they're challenged. That's why they get violent and threaten you and try to intimidate you and extort you and bully you, because their belief system cannot hold up the scrutiny with the light of transcendent, objective, moral truth. It cannot, and they know it. So that's why one of the first things they go after is the need for free speech.
Yep, exactly. I want to play this video of Ron DeSantis responding. It's not a long video. It's not even 2 minutes long, but I want you all to listen to Ron DeSantis responding to Joe Biden losing patience. And to that, I say a hearty amen to Ron DeSantis.
Unfortunately, I don't know if you came through on anyone else. I didn't hear a thing when you started it, so I don't know what happened.
Oh, okay. I thought I had the mic on. I thought I had it on. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened because the mic was on. I had the speakers on. I might have to play it again. But basically what Ron DeSantis was saying is you have people that were working through COVID and they caught COVID, they recovered, and now they're being told if they don't get this vaccine that their jobs could be in jeopardy. And that's the situation where I find myself in right now, you know, because I caught COVID in December and I made a decision for myself, me and my wife, we made the decision that we don't need the vaccine. But I was told on my job that you're going to have to get the vaccine or you're going to be fired. You know, and I don't understand why I think I can think pretty well for myself. I'll be 53 years old next month, and I've been able to make some good quality decisions through my life and whatever. And one thing I don't like is if I know I've made the best decision for my life, I don't want someone coming in saying, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. We know what is best for you. And see, that's what I see our government as today. They're saying, don't think for yourself. Let us think for you. We'll do the thinking for you. You know, when I was growing up, my parents used to say I didn't have common sense. And they used to say, well, Vincent, when you get old, whenever you get old enough and, you know, you get on your own, you ain't going to be able to make it. Okay. But, I've been on my own since I was 19 years old. My dad said I'd be, sitting around the house until I'm 40 years old. And he was only off by 21 years. But, but now that you get to the point where you can think for yourself and you're making good quality decisions for yourself, now people are saying, no, you don't need to think for yourself. Let us do the thinking for you because we know what's best for you. You think you know what's best for you, but we're the ones, we know what's best for you. That is the sign of a totalitarian type of regime. When a government can come in and they say, well, we're going to determine what you're going to be good at. We're going to determine what your career is going to be. We're going to determine how much money you're going to make. We're going to determine how much you need to pay at the market. That is a totalitarian government, which is basically a communist government, you know, and the government comes in and they become the ruler of your life. And all you have to do is just sit around, be lazy and just let the government do the thinking for you. That's not how we operate. That's not how we're supposed to operate. We're not supposed to operate as a collective. You know, we are, each of us are individuals who are completely, who for in general, let me just say that, in general, we know what is best for ourselves. We can make decisions for ourselves. We don't need some outside entity that really has no business in our lives telling us how we need to think for ourselves. Now, I know I sound like I'm preaching right now, but I don't mean to preach right now, but that is just how I see it. But, you know, these folks, they come in, they act like they know what is the best for you, and you already know what's best for you because you're the one who is living day to day in the environment that you're living. The government is not, they're really not living your day to day. You know, I remember watching this movie. I don't know if you've heard this movie, Sarge, but it's a movie called what's the name of that movie? Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. In that movie, there's a statement that's made that says the needs of the many are more important than the needs of the few or the one. Now, when I first heard that statement, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, okay, that sounds like a good statement. But when you think about it, you're like, wait a minute. Nah, they're talking about you got to go along with the collective. You got to think if a whole bunch of people are going in this direction, you need to be going in that direction with them, despite what you think. What you think is not important. What the group thinks, that is what you need to go along with, you know. And that's how our government is trying to push us into a collective. We're all supposed to think the way they want us to think. That's not a government. That's basically a dictatorship.
Yeah, but see, that's a false dichotomy even from these own people's own mouths. And the reason it is because we are now seeing the adverse reaction to many of these vaccines, news of which they are trying to suppress. Thousands of people have died apparently in reaction to adverse reactions to the vaccine. Now, if you're going to ask me, do I believe people should get vaccinated? As a general rule, I say, yes, I did.
Yeah.
I got vaccinated. I believe the best form of vaccination is the kind you got. You got natural immunity, Vince, because you actually got disease, and it seems to be infinitely better than does the immunity conferred by the vaccine. But nonetheless, just because I think people should get vaccine as a general principle, does not mean I'm going to eschew the individual requirements of individual people. This is madness.
Exactly.
This is crazy collectivism writ large. And the federal government has no authority to do this.
Yes. Yes. And I'm going to pull up that video again, but I'm just going to send you all the link to that video because I got a couple of people said they didn't hear the video, and I'm going to post a link for it in the chat room, and you all can hear it from there. And Ron DeSantis, he's on point in this video, and like I said, the video is less than 2 minutes long, so it's not very long, but I'm going to post it in my chat room, and you all can check it out and hear it for yourselves. I don't know why you all weren't able to hear it, but that's okay. That's okay. But there you go. I think that should be, hopefully that's the link there. And if it isn't, just let me know, whatever. Y'all can get me next week and say, yo, Vincent, you know, that link you gave me, it sucks, man. I couldn't get the video. Just let me know. But I believe that's the link to the video, and you can hear it for yourself, Ron DeSantis replying to our Joseph Bedinsky. That's the name I'm going to call him, you know, Joseph Bedinsky, because he seems to want to be pushing us towards communism now. So I'll call him Joseph Bedinsky. I don't know. I ain't got no names for Kamala Harris yet. The Joker or the Giggler. I guess you could call her that.
No, I got a name for you, Kamala. Kamala.
Oh, okay, that's a good one. Yeah. I need to write that one down. Kamala. Okay, I got that one.
There's a whole bunch of names for that one. I mean, that woman's like, she's like an endless joke that just writes itself.
I mean, really? Oh gosh! Don't even get me started on her.
She's like the most target-rich environment ever. As a vice president,
I mean, really.
Spiro Agnew looked like an absolute statesman compared to. Besides, he was better spoken than she was anyway.
Yeah.
Come on. How many other vice presidents you know could come up with a turn of phrase like nattering nabobs of negativism? Come on now, that's beautiful.
Oh my God.
You think Kamala Harris is that kind of eloquence? Hell no.
No. Uh-oh. And where is Kamala Harris anyway? I rarely hear about her. I mean, what is she hiding in a bunker somewhere? Or
No, she's too busy telling us about how the day after Joe Biden announced the vaccine mandate, which I guess means that you don't have no choice about your body. She's lecturing the rest of us how women have an absolute choice to do what they want to another body that ain't theirs.
Yeah,
that's what she's been doing lately. And that's it.
Oh, yeah, pushing the abortion thing. Yeah,
She's up on Texas for their law. And, that's what she's doing. She's up there squawking about it. But while ignoring the fact that I guess people don't have the right to decide what to do with them, what gets put into their own bodies. And she's talking about a procedure that every single, like I said earlier, every single time it's successful, it ends a human life. They can't get around that no matter how they try to pretty it up. They can't. And that's why they hate for you to remind them abortion. It ain't abortion. It's a choice.
Yeah. woman's choice, you know, but it's a woman.
I want to be mean about it, and I suppose I want to be mean about it, but only because Kamala Harris is such a moron and a fool. I would guess I would have to say that the greatest takers of human life, and certainly in the last 2 to 3 centuries, are women who elect to have abortions, and I like to remind you the numbers say 63 million in the United States alone. Nothing else, not even the Second World War, killed that many people.
Yeah. Oh, man, I tell you.
That's just the United States. 63 million. That's the ones we know about.
Yep.
The ones that were recorded and reported through the medical systems of the various states. There might be more.
And
But it's at least 63 million.
Think about it. If you want to go along that mode of thinking, then no matter what age you are, if your parent decides, hey, you know, I want to take your life, then they shouldn't be arrested for it because you're the same person outside the body that was inside the body. You know, I mean, if you want to stick with that philosophy, you know, my body, my choice. Well, then we shouldn't get so bent out of shape. When a woman
I don't know about you, Vince, but I know at one point when I was a fetus, my heart started beating. I don't know if it was 6 weeks or 5 weeks or 7 weeks, but I know it started. It wasn't beating at one point, and then it was. So, you know, I mean, I'm sitting there and say that every human being I know of went through roughly the same procedure. I'm trying to think of one that maybe the Democrats they spawned somewhere in a lab didn't. Maybe they got replicated or something. I don't know. But if they're human and they gestated, they went through exactly the same procedure.
Exactly. I mean, same thing. So, it's a lot to unpack on that, you know. And like I said, I can blow holes all through that philosophy. You know, I can do it all day, but, I think I sent you all the wrong link in my chat page on my, in my chat room. So I'm going to send you all the proper link right now. So you all can check out the video yourselves and, you know, you all can see for yourselves, Ron DeSantis's response to Joe Biden. Cause I think I sent you all the wrong link, but let me see. Let me get this on here, and we should. Okay, that should be the right one. If you're in the chat room, don't click on the first link. Click on the second link, and that should take you to that video. But anyway, I'm going to get ready to get out of here. My wife is out somewhere, and I'm pretty soon. She'll probably be calling me to pick her up and whatever. But I'm going to go ahead and end this show. Want to appreciate everybody that came into the show. Sarge, it is always a pleasure. My little sister up there in New York City, Retta Washington, always a pleasure. I'm going to start that GoFundMe to get you out of jail. Every time I look up, they put my sister in Facebook jail, you know, for stupid stuff too, you know. And see, this is what I'm talking about, you know, technology.
Well, she ought to be proud. She must have done something righteous to get put there, because only seems like only the righteous people get put in that jail. But hey, man, look here, man. I'm gonna go hunt for that fruit bat that you scared out of the room. I don't want them fruit bats to survive, so I got to go get them. And you did scare him out of the room, so I got to go get him. So I'm going to take off and go take care of it. Because tomorrow I got about 800 rounds I'm going to put down range. So I did a lot of gunsmithing on some of my AR-15s and some pals of mine. And we got to make sure they're working properly. So I'm going to have to get going and get ready for that. But, man, it's been great talking to you. And, look, I look forward to doing more of the same.
Okay. Hey, God willing, I should have another edition of Black by Color Only next week. And you all, just want to tell you all, stay safe out there. Enjoy yourselves. And please keep the 3,000 people that were murdered on 9/11 20 years ago. Please keep them in your thoughts and their families in your prayers. But anyway, I'm going to get ready to get off of here. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I will see you on the rebound. You all enjoy your Saturday.